Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
All right, grab your Bibles, if you would, please hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. I want to talk to you in this new series. It's entitled Bold. Each week I'm going to do a different approach to something bold, something that we have access to, something that we can have confidence as we do it. And today I want to talk to you about bold approach to God, accessing the presence of God, being bold to walk into His throne of grace. And that's where we find ourselves in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Are you there? All right. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So the Bible's telling us here that Jesus is functioning like our high priest, okay? Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things just as we are, yet he's without sin. Now, you got to have a perspective of what was going on with the word high priest. This is to a group of people, the Hebrews, who've had tabernacles and temples in their lives, and they've had to go through priests, and the priests would make atonement, or they would take their sacrifices and sacrifice these spotless lambs on the altar of sacrifice, and they would take blood, and they would use it as the payment for their sin, and the people would then go away uncondemned. They would go away free to be the covenant people of God. So that's kind of that mindset. And so this saying, we have a great high priest. We have Jesus who's functioning on our behalf in all of the exchange between us and God. Now, what's great about that is our high priest, even though he is God, he's God that knows what it's like to be in our shoes. He knows what it's like to be in a difficult place. He knows what it's like to walk this earth because he came personally and he's done it. And so he's not aloof, he's not distant, but he understands. He understands your weaknesses, your frailties, even your questions. And he's there representing you in heaven with God. I think that's pretty tremendous. Therefore, because of all this, let us draw near with confidence. Some of your Bibles say boldly, to the throne of grace. That's what we're talking about today. Bold approach to the throne of grace, bold approach into the presence of God, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What I want to bring out, a couple things today as we talk about going boldly in, is when you go into the presence of God, when you go into the throne of grace, I want you to see here that this is a meaningful topic to you because in that presence, in that throne of grace, you're going to find help. And if you don't go into that presence, you're not going to get the help that's available to you. If you just learn about this today and you just think about it doctrinally or theologically, that's not what's going to help you. What's going to help you is when you boldly go in to that presence. It's one thing to stay on the outside and look at it and just say, man, that's beautiful, that's wonderful. But today is about action. This boldness we're talking about today is the response to it is not even just to clap and celebrate, but the response to it is to go in and find help. And this is God kind of help. This is help beyond your human ability. And I love it because it puts us in a position, it gives us a posture of not just going in, but how to go in confidently, boldly, and how that exchange is supposed to look. And so that's what I want to talk to you about, this idea of boldness and going into the throne of grace to receive help, mercy and grace, which is ability to help you. And I believe today's message is going to help you if you do it, if you obey it, if you go in. That's the response. Now, the idea of boldly approaching God, that is not a natural mindset when we're left to our own devices. You can look through human history and you can see how they create religion. And in most forms of religion, when we've created our own idea of gods and our own idea of how to respond to God, there's this very much so this disconnect, this sense of there's God over there and I'm way down here. And somehow I need to get that God's attention. Somehow I need to either do enough, sacrifice enough, even hurt myself in some religions to the point of exhaustion, to where this God takes pity on me. The idea of relationship, the idea of access, the idea of love and unity and being able to go in and actually receive help. The help that you get in most religions is help you've had to earn by doing something to make that God happy. And that's the normal bend in the natural mind. And even sometimes in Christianity, without the Word of God, and sometimes things that we assume because we bring this natural mindset into Christianity, similarly, we see God as, if I earn God's good favor, if I sacrifice enough, and maybe occasionally, if I really behave myself, He might actually help me. If I pray enough, if I give enough, if I do enough, if I act pure enough, then maybe I'll be allowed for this great God to come and to do something on my behalf. That is a natural mindset, because God has a lot of grace and help and ability and desire to be a part of your life, and it's not contingent upon what you do for Him. It's what He's done for you that He's wanting you to receive and believe it. And that's the natural mind, but it's easy to bring even into Christianity. The idea of being bold and confident in the presence of God, that's not natural. You see, interestingly enough, in most false religions, in most of these ideas of other gods, the idea of keeping you in a position of instability, keeping you in a position of fear and double-mindedness about where you stand, that's all part of how those religions and gods, and I believe the devil, controls people. Keeping you guessing and off kilter. You have no assurance. You have no confidence. You have no way to build any trust or any real love, because love is based on trust. Are you understanding? But not in Christianity. It's different. It didn't come out of the natural mind. It came out of the mind of God. And it functions different and it works different. And there's accessibility. And He wants you to come to Him for relationship. He wants you to come boldly and confidently into this throne of grace to get help. He wants you to get the help you need. It's not a matter of a little bit every once in a while. If you need it, it's there. If you need help, help is here. And He's wanting you to access His presence confidently and boldly. And I would like to add today, often. Often. See, again, so many times in world religions, it's special holidays, special events, special things, and maybe you can get some help. That's not what you're a part of. And we're going to talk about that today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Oh, real quick before I get in there. As much as this idea of you learning how to access and boldly go into the throne of grace is going to help you, I know it's going to help you, because the Bible said that's what's going to happen. If you go into the throne of grace, you're going to get help. So I know it's going to help you. It's not just about you. This is huge. By you knowing how and being confident in and approaching God and going into His presence consistently, personally, do you know that also frees up other people around you and gives them permission to do it as well? When you go into the throne of grace, you're mentoring that into other people that they can go into the throne of grace. Your children, your grandchildren, when you access the presence of God, you're teaching them how they can access the presence of God. If you go in occasionally, you're teaching them that's normal. You just go in occasionally. If you go in consistently to find help, you're training up a child in the way you should go, that they go consistently to access the presence of God. And then how you act in that presence, if you're crawling around on the ground like you're unworthy and you don't belong here, and you spend 30 minutes trying to tell God why you don't belong there rather than just going into the throne of grace and having relationship with God, then you're training them that they have to spend 30 minutes to earn that God's good pleasure. You see, today is about freedom for you, but if you do it, you're going to give permission and freedom for them to be able to do it as well. And we're going to reproduce the right kind of relationship, not religion, but relationship with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. It's not a future tense. It is something to be done now. And it gives us the attitude by which we're to come into boldly and confidently. And this is not pride. I am not saying because you're so amazing, you can go under the throne of grace. I am saying because of what Jesus has done and because you're in Jesus, access has been granted. Now boldly go in. I love that God, you know, like in the olden days when they would prep someone of how to go in and visit the king, like what to say, the proper customs of how to be in front of that king. I see that this way in the scripture. Like the Bible's prepping you to go in, what to expect, to get help. Not to go in wondering if you're going to get help, but to go into that presence expecting to get help. Are you understanding? And then it's prepping you of how to act in the presence of God, confident and bold in Jesus, in what Jesus has done for you. Not to be double-minded or unstable in that relationship or in that moment where you're in the presence of God, wondering, am I even allowed to be in here? God wants you to come on in and receive mercy and receive grace and to be blessed by being in his presence. It's giving you even the attitude and the spirit of what to come in. Come now, come boldly, and come confidently into his throne of grace. Now that word confident, bold and confident, I know that's like an outward kind of, you think about it like bold as in like brave or bold that way, or confident as like a certain attitude. But I also want you to know that confidence, I believe, part of confidence comes from understanding and revelation. I want you to think about this. How do I come confidently into the throne of grace? Is it you just putting on this fake attitude of confidence? Like, okay, I have to act confident in the Lord's presence. That's not confidence. That's faking it, right? Confidence, think about it this way. I like to use illustrations to help you with confidence. When you sit at school and you're ready to take a test, if you're unsure about the information, if you're unsure about what you know or believe, or you're unsure in that moment, you don't have confidence in that moment. But if you know it, if you have understanding, if you have revelation of the material, you sit there in that chair, not faking confidence, but having genuine confidence. Does that make sense? You're like, give me the test. Start the clock. I got my pencil ready. And then you got the guy next to you like sweating and vomiting on the side of the floor because he has no idea what's going on. And you're like, I am confident. Why? Because I have understanding, because I know what I know. That's what I'm talking about today. It's getting revelation, not just of go boldly and confidently, okay, Pastor Kevin, I'll do it because you said it. No, by revelation, by understanding, receive the word of God today that's telling you by grace, go in and find mercy and help in your time of need. And when you go, you can go boldly and you can go confidently because you are in Christ. You have been paid for to go in. The high priest has performed what needs to be performed so that you can go in. And so you, by revelation, say, I'm here because I'm supposed to be here. You understand? I understand it. I receive it by faith. So I'm not pretending to be bold in God's presence. I'm not pretending to be confident in God's presence. It's because I understand. I am confident in his presence because I know how I got here. I know why I'm here. Amen. God desires us to come boldly and approach him boldly and to come into his presence so much. He's never wanted a separation. He never wanted that in our lives. You know, when God made man, he made us to be with us. He said, let us make man in our own image. And he wanted to walk with Adam and Eve, and he wanted to be among us, and he wanted to be near us. He breathed his own breath of life into us when we were created in the beginning. And then sin came in and separated us from God. And we always think about how much that hurt humanity and how much humanity lost when we got separated from God, but I like to look at it as God lost his kids. I mean, as much as you want to feel bad for the kids that they lost their father, that father lost access to his children. How would that make you feel as a parent? To lose access, to be close, to be near, and now there's this disease in their life that if you get close to them, they'll die, called sin. They can't come near you because of sin. They can't come into your presence. They can't crawl up onto your lap in the living room on that big lounge chair where they can come and say, I just want to be with you. Now there's all these barriers and laws and procedures and ceremonies just to prepare them enough to get a little bit of you, but they can't have all of you because you're too overwhelming. Do you understand what that would be like to the God who in his imagination created us and wanted us? In Psalms 8, where it says, what is man, O God, that you are mindful of him? God wanted us. So as much as I want to talk to you about wanting to access and go into the presence of God, I want you to see it from God's side, how much he wanted you with him. Changes it, doesn't it? It's not just like this idol that you're going to trying to get something. This God's wanted you around. And that's what initiated the cause and effect of everything that he set into motion in Jesus coming. It was to get rid of the disease, to clear the path so that you could come into his presence. We think Christianity is about you going to heaven. Heaven's a benefit. That's wonderful. But the real reason was for nearness, was for relationship between. You see, because the moment you give your life to Jesus, you don't go to heaven unless you're like coming down on a plane crash or something. The moment you give your life to Jesus, you have access into the presence to get help and mercy and grace. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how big this is? The coming into the presence of God and coming into relationship and accessing boldly and knowing what to do and how to be in that presence. Now, don't get me wrong. I love heaven. Heaven. Woo! But if you just think Christianity is about heaven, then you're going to put all of it off to a future someday. And I'm saying Jesus came to affect you now. And the presence of God came and is available now. Heaven is for future. But the presence of God is for now. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Amen. And so let me take you through. I mean, there were some great pictures about the separation and all this stuff. In the Old Testament, there was a guy by the name of Moses. He led God's people, Israel, out of Egypt. Now, God gave Moses a picture of heaven and an image of a tabernacle in heaven. And he said to Moses, he said, I want you to build this same exact tent, tabernacle, on the earth. Don't change anything. And the reason was, is every piece of that tabernacle spoke prophetically of who Jesus was going to be and things he was going to fulfill when he came. And so Moses, he built this tabernacle and this tent in the middle of the nation of Israel, and that's where the presence of God was. The presence of God was in that tabernacle, was in that tent. Now there's different sections of that tent. There was the outer courts where the lambs that we talked about would be sacrificed on the altar of sacrifice, and their blood would be shed, and that's where they would be forgiven. And then there was an inner court. And in that inner court, only the priests could go in there, and they would do other things that would worship and bring, you know, praise to God. But the people couldn't get into that place of presence. And then there was another chamber, one last one, called the Holy of Holies, or the Most Holy Place. And there was a curtain that separated the outer court, the inner court, to the Holy of Holies. And the only person that could really access this inner chamber, I don't want you to lose me over there. Can you see me? Okay. The only person that could come in here, and that was only once a year, was the high priest. Now, inside of this Holy of Holies was what we know as the Ark of the Covenant, like Indiana Jones. You were already there, might as well tell you. Absolutely. You're like, oh, I got you now, Pastor. That's the first thing you got all day. Oh, I got you now, Pastor. I'm with you. And the Ark of the Covenant on top was this lid called the mercy seat. And the high priest once a year would take the blood that was shed on behalf of the people and come and make prayers for forgiveness and cleansing for all the people once a year upon that mercy seat. Now think about that for a minute. Once a year. So kind of symbolically, the presence of God, the seat of God, the throne of grace was behind this huge veil. And no one could really access the real God stuff. The people were way out here. And then there was a small group of people, the priests, who could get a little closer. But then there was this veil, and only one person once a year could really get in to the throne of grace and really access God. Do you see that image? Now I want to fast forward to the New Testament, to when Jesus died on the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, powerful moment. And sometimes we read over things as if it's not a big deal. And I'm trying to tell you, it's a huge deal. See, in the New Testament, it had moved from the tabernacle, and Solomon had built a stone structure, a temple, had been destroyed a couple times, had been rebuilt. But it was similarly had this inner court, this inner Holy of Holies, with a big veil of where the presence of God supposedly was going to be. And that's what all the people understood. That's where God is. He's in our temple. He's in that Holy of Holy place in there. But the moment Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And the Bible says there was a great earthquake. And the very first thing that happened when that earth shook, when Jesus said it is finished, the Bible says that this really thick curtain, this veil, was torn, and it was torn from top to bottom. What's that picture? That picture, to me, shows the eagerness in the heart of God. That, see, a human being was never supposed to or allowed to enter that veil, nor more or less rip that veil. That was sacred. That was holy. But God took hold of that veil, and by being ripped from the top to the bottom, to me, pictures the eagerness of God who was grabbed a hold of that veil, and when Jesus said, "It is finished." Now picture this for a second. God knew what was about to happen before Jesus died, right on that cross. Backwards, rewind 30 seconds before Jesus breathes his last breath. And I want you just to use your imagination for a minute. Now, I know we've talked a lot about us being able to go into the presence of God, but I want you to see it again from the heart of the Father. 30 seconds before Jesus dies, God knows what's about to take place. Very first thing that happens shows you what was on God's mind and the eagerness in the heart of God. Jesus says, "It is finished." Right before that, I can almost see God like waiting, looking at the clock saying, 30 seconds, in 30 seconds. And you see what happened was, Jesus says, "It is finished." The veil rips. And as much as we want to say how nice it is that we can come into the presence of God, what I'm saying is in that moment, you can see the eagerness of God, not as you just coming to God, but God now being able to come to you. God coming out of that isolation. God being able to interact with the people, right? For God so loved the world. We always get excited that we get to go in, but what I'm trying to say is God knew it was going to take place, and you could see the eagerness in the heart of God that the moment Jesus, this is like 10 seconds, 5 seconds, it is finished. Boom, rip it open. I'm back. I can be with my kids. Their sin has been paid for. Now I can access them. They can access me. I am not in some address in Jerusalem anymore. That is not where my presence is. My presence is now available to every single one of the people that I had in my mind before the foundation of the world. Presence. In that moment, I believe that was the moment that God was waiting for when Jesus was being prepared as that lamb to get back into the lives of his people again. Presence, relationship. So that, and God didn't do all that so he could come into your life and bring presence so that you could lay on the floor and grovel, but so that you could be sons and daughters walking in his presence, yes, accessing and growing and learning and talking and communing with God. Amen. I love that idea. And I'm gonna help you with some of this picture in a minute. But again, I love that now going to the throne of grace and going into the presence of God doesn't mean us getting on an airplane and flying to Jerusalem and going into some holy room. Now the presence of God is right where you are. You are the temple. You are the temple. You see, remember, all that tabernacle stuff, all that temple stuff, that was just a model of stuff in heaven. And so now that that veil's been ripped open, to me, I look at it like this. It's like these realms. The realm of the natural, where we live. And then the realm of God, where his throne of grace and his provision and his relationship is. And because Jesus paid the price, we can go boldly into that realm, into that throne room, but it's not somewhere miles away. It's right where you need him. You see, going boldly into the throne of grace, I need help in my time of need. Let's say the next time my son has surgery and I'm sitting in a hospital room, which is going to be in September. I need access to the throne of grace to find help. I need the presence of God in that hospital room. I thank God that the throne of grace and the presence of God is not in Jerusalem. I don't need it in Jerusalem. I need it in the hospital room. Or in your CEO boardroom where you're having crisis in your company. And because of Jesus, the veil between the two realms has been made open. And so now the throne of grace to find the help you need is where you need it, when you need it. That's why it's helpful. And so now to go boldly in to the throne of grace is not an address in Jerusalem. It's wherever I am and I need help, I can just open up my heart and I can say, I'm coming to your throne. Help me, Lord. Wherever that is. And it's as holy and it's as filled with the fullness of God as those priests would have experienced if they walked into the Holy of Holies just once a year. It's not diluted. It's not less of. It is all of God that's available to you. That veil has been opened because of the blood of Jesus. And now you can go right into the throne of grace right where you need the throne of grace. Man, that is an overwhelming thought, isn't it? If God, if you could give us confidence in that moment, I just pray that God would help you. You were given imagination for a reason. Not to imagine wickedness and not to imagine your life falling apart, but you to be able to imagine and believe what God has said about your life. Some people use their imagination and they let it run wild and let fear tell them all the bad stuff. I'm saying redeem your imagination and use it in this moment and understand and believe what I'm trying to tell you. About the access and the presence and the availability right where you are, in the hospital room, in the boardroom, in your classroom before your students come. You have access into the throne of grace. It's not somewhere else. It's right where the problem is. It's right where you need him. And that veil has been opened and you can go back and forth between the two realms just like that. Just express your faith and ask. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 20. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly, again, there it is, enter heaven's most holy place. Now, you don't have to go fly in an airplane or a rocket ship to heaven. Amen? You can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Why? Because that's what this was a symbol of. That's what this was a model of. But you get to go into the real one. Come on, somebody. Do you hear that? You're not going into the shadow. You're going into the real. Do you see that? You enter in boldly into heaven's most holy place, and you think, I don't belong in there. I'm not qualified to be in there. Yes, you are because of Jesus. Human beings weren't qualified to go into the shadow, and you're qualified to go into the real. Come on. Because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place, the genuine one. And since we have a great high priest, there it is again, who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God. I love that. You don't go through all these steps and ceremonies and washings and traditions and all that stuff to prepare yourself. You're right in the middle of your situation and immediately you call out to Jesus, the veil's open, and you step right in and find the help you need. It's not like you got to prime the pump. It's not like you got to go through X, Y, and Z. Jesus already did X, Y, and Z. And so you can just cry out. Amen. With sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering. I love that the Bible says that. As you can see, I love that the Bible says a lot of things. But why does that excite me so much? Because it means there's going to be moments that we waver in this. That there's this humanity part of us still that is going to feel unworthy. Or it's going to feel like we've got to perform or that we don't belong in there. And God is telling you, hold on to this belief. Don't waver. I love that the Bible is so real. It's already telling you that there's going to be moments in your life that you don't feel qualified to go in. So honest. There's going to be moments in your life where you feel like maybe this situation doesn't belong in here, or I'm not allowed to bring this in, or I'm not ready, I'm not prepared, I've done some sinful things or whatever, so I can't go in. And the Bible's telling us here, may you hold on without wavering to what we just said, that you can, by the blood of Jesus, go boldly in, because the truth is, when you're hurting the most is when you need the presence the most. And even when you fail the most, you need the presence the most. See, the concept that says, I've sinned again, I'm no longer worthy to go in, that's the moment this scripture really rings true, without wavering. If you were doing great and you were fulfilling everything and you were all, you know, peaches and cream, I don't know where that came from. Then you wouldn't waver, because the natural tendency would be, I'm rocking it with Jesus. So I'm not going to waver. I feel good. I knew that I would now. But when you feel like you've done poorly, you feel back to your old self. I don't belong in that presence. I'm not allowed to go in that presence. But I'm telling you, that's when you need that presence the most. That's the help you need. You see, it's silly to think you're supposed to help yourself out here to get yourself in there. The Bible says you go into the presence to find the help you need. And praise God, it's mercy comes in there with you. See, boldly go in. Grace and mercy to help in your time of need. And there's going to be times where you don't believe what I'm telling you. But this idea of presence and this idea of access to God has nothing to do with how you feel. It has to do with the reality of the grace of God and what's been done for you, and that presence is available for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Jesus, who knew no sin, took our sin that we might become the righteousness of God. I just want to tell you your identity real quick. You are the righteousness of God. Not based on what you did, but based on what Jesus did for you. When you put your faith in him, his righteousness, he took your sin and gave you his righteousness. And righteousness is right standing. He who knew no sin, Jesus had never sinned, became your sin that you might become what he was and is, the righteousness of God. Amen. Are you understanding that? And so that's who you are now, whether you feel like it or not, whether you perform perfect that day or not. You are the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did. That's why you can go boldly in to the throne of grace to find help. Because that's who you are. You've been made right. Not made right the hamburger joint. You've been made right, and you're still right because of Jesus. Even when you think wrong, even if you've performed or failed and done something wrong, even if you don't feel right, you've been made right. And you go in and you access that relationship and you access, see, that's what Adam and Eve did when, and that's normal for us, that's normal, is when we fail, we run away from the presence. How many people don't come to church even this weekend because they did something they knew they shouldn't have done this week sometime? And they can't face the presence. Or they don't open up their Bible at home, or they don't pray at home. Doesn't even, not even just the church. They don't talk to God anymore at all because of something that they're holding over their own head. And so they don't access the presence. And I'm telling you, if they would come into the presence, God would give them the help they need to get out of that which they performed and that which they did wrong. He would not only forgive them and give them mercy, he could give them ability to not do it anymore. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Through him, through Jesus, we have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly, safely, and securely stand. Do you hear any double-mindedness in that?
No.
Do you hear any questioning in that? No. Think about it. Through Jesus, we have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly, safely, securely stand. You are in a state of grace, just like you are in the state of Illinois. You are inside. You are standing firmly and securely upon the grace of God, not on your works, on what Jesus did. That is where you stand. So let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance, there's that word confident again, of experiencing and enjoying the glory of our great God, the manifestation of his excellence and power. Now, boldness comes from knowing, and confidence, knowing where you stand. Think about it in the idea of relationships. A guy likes a girl, you've heard it a thousand times. Guy likes a girl, she likes a guy. They go out a couple times. He's feeling good about it. He sends her a text. Can I see you next Friday? And she doesn't respond. I thought she liked me. Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? I was confident I thought I was Mr. Smooth up until now. And now I don't know where I stand, which then makes me not confident, insecure, double-minded. But the moment I know where I stand, and all of a sudden she texts back, "Oh yeah, I wouldn't miss it for the world. You fine." All of a sudden this little like cowardy, he's like, "That's right, I got it." Because he knows where he stands. Is this making sense? And people are double-minded in the presence of God because they don't know where they stand. People don't go boldly because they don't know where they stand. Or they're not, and it's not that God hasn't told them, it's either they don't know, no one ever informed them, or they're not choosing to believe it because they're believing their feelings instead. Is this helping you? We stand in the state of grace. That's where my confidence comes. Now, I didn't put myself in this state of grace. I was placed here. And I'm grateful. Amen? Amen. I was placed by grace. So today has a twofold purpose. My first purpose was to help you access and approach his presence, to get rid of any ignorance or lack of understanding about that. My second one is to ask a second question. Knowing that we're allowed and supposed to have access to the presence of God, why have we stopped accessing the throne of grace? Why have we stopped going into the throne of God? Why do we make it so rare and so occasional rather than consistent when I need help? Why don't I just go in naturally? Or why did I, if I'm going into the presence of God less now than I ever did before, why have I pulled back? Does that make sense? I like to think about it like this, like Old Testament saints, I think they would have a hard time with us because we get to be free and clear and access the presence of God that was hidden behind a veil that they could only read about, they could only see from a distance. Only one guy once a year was allowed to go throughout their whole generations. They could not have access to the throne, access to the mercy seat, access to the God side of this whole thing. They were always at a distance. And here we, on this side of the cross, have access to the same Spirit, the same presence that was in and upon that tabernacle and in that Holy of Holies, because there's only one God, right? Only one presence of God. It's not separate. So it's all of God. We get access free and clear to go right into not the shadow, but to go right into the reality. Are you understanding? And we don't go? You think an Old Testament person would come up and slap us across the face. They'd look at us like, "Are you kidding me? We could only dream to go inside even the shadow room. And you get to go into heaven's holy room? Are you kidding me? And we have to obey all these laws. There's like 660-something laws I have to obey to get like one little blessing and to get one little trickle of glory. And you can go in whenever you want. Are you kidding me? All you have to do is just go in? Are you kidding me?" Telling you, when you get to heaven, there's going to be a whole long line of Old Testament Christians going, "Are you kidding me?" And don't be offended if one of them just comes up and just goes, "Whoosh." Just hope it's not Samson, because that'll hurt worse. Whoosh. Let me say it like this. The fact that we can take it for granted shows us how available it's been made. Have you ever thought about that? The fact that we can take it for granted shows you how easily accessible it's become and is. It's supposed to be. See, for them, it was inaccessible, so it's elevated. But because in truth and in reality, we know how easy, it's accessible, we can let it become common. That's actually a testimony to how available it is. So I ask why. Why do we not access it? Why do we not go in? And why helps us dig? I love whys. The word why makes you dig down deep. It's one thing to say we should go in. I could just look at you and say, you should go in. It's another thing to ask yourself, why am I not going in? Let's dig down with some whys. Let's find some reasons, because there's there. You don't just not go into this available presence and access for no reason. There's whys there. I think the first one, as we dig down with why we don't go in, is what I addressed earlier, is shame. It's guilt. But now we have some understanding. We have some confidence that we can build based on grace and based on forgiveness. I think that's one. You dig down a little bit deeper, I think that not only is there some shame and guilt, but I think there's some hurt in there. There's people who feel hurt by other churches who, in the name of God and in the name of his presence, got weird, got freaky. You know what I'm saying? Got creepy. And so they pulled back from the presence of God because they got hurt by someone who, in the name of God, but I'm telling you, they're not God. That person that hurt you isn't God. And so you become closed off to the things of God or to the move of God because of earthly excesses or immaturities that people have had, and people have issues, and we're all growing up and we're all learning how to do things better. And so, yeah, they may have genuinely done some things vicious or hurtful, but they're not God. And actually going into the presence of God to talk to God about even that would have helped you in your journey with them. But we blame God and we pull back from God because of our unforgiveness or bitterness towards other churches or moves of God or things that we've seen, excesses. And so that's another reason I think you haven't dealt with that hurt. I think there's, if you dig a little deeper, why you might not go into the presence of God to find help is maybe you've been disappointed in something where you went and prayed and asked and it didn't happen when or how you thought it was supposed to happen. And so now you don't go back into the presence or into the throne of grace to ask for help because you feel like you didn't get the help the last time you were there. Is it okay to be real in church? That happens. And I'm going to be a real pastor. I don't have the answers for all of those whys. I'm just identifying that that's why. But again, I believe the solution is still found in the presence. So even if you have that hurt, even if you have that disappointment, the only resolution to that is to go into the presence of God and talk to him about it. Not to avoid him. That's not going to get better. You're not going to find the help you need outside the presence. You're going to find the help you need inside the presence. I think sometimes if we dig down with our why, is we genuinely don't value the presence of God in this generation. We have this little phrase in our head, like, I got this. As a businessman or a businesswoman, I got this. I have my degree. I have my knowledge. I have my talents. I'm building my own little kingdom. I got this. You know what that's called? Pride. Let's call it like it is. Pride. You're like, I'll go to God when I need him. Do you see what I'm saying? Let's just be honest. I'll go into the presence when things get really bad, because that's really when I need him. I'll access the glory, the throne of grace, when it's out of my control, when it's so far gone. Why do you wait to go there? Maybe in the presence of God, you wouldn't have to go so far gone. You know what I'm saying? Maybe God could have given you some wisdom so you don't go so far. The truth is, even if you think you can build some things without God, let's just be real honest, because you can do some things. You are talented. You are created in his image, you acknowledge that or not. You're created in his image. You can do some stuff even without going into his throne of grace. But just imagine if you would go into his throne of grace and you would allow God to breathe upon and help even take your talents and abilities to places that you could not ask, dream, or think, or imagine. See, it's really silly to think, well, I'll go to God when I don't got this, because you have this weird, mistaken idea that what you got is all you can get. The truth is God has vision and plan and purpose for your life and mission that you can't get without him. And so if you fulfill the small version of you that you have in your mind, it's still a shrunken, anemic version of what you could have been. Yay, I built my kingdom. When you should have built your kingdom. You got nothing to celebrate, buddy. Nothing. Amen? But there's pride. You don't go access, you don't go into consistently because you don't think there's any value to it. You got this. But you don't got this. Sometimes we don't access the presence of God because we think it's too much work to get into the presence of God. You're like, I don't got time to put on like a CD, worship CD, and I don't have time to read like 40 chapters in the Bible, get into the presence of God, so tired. Again, that's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of understanding that you don't work your way into the presence of God. You step into it. Who said you have to have 30 minutes of worship to get into the presence of God? Who said you have to read 40 chapters to get into the presence of God? The presence of God is made available because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so somehow in your brain, you don't go to God because you have it all worked up that to get to God, you've got to do all this stuff even to get into his presence. And some of us, especially as fast as this culture runs, we don't have that much time. Now, I'm not trying to say you speed God up on your time clock. That's not what I'm saying. There are times that God's going to enjoy making you wait. And it's good for you to wait sometimes. But sometimes we've gone to the extreme to where we don't even try to go into the presence of God because we've got in our mind all these ideas that to get into the presence and get some help, I've got to have this long church service. I've got to pray all this prayer. I've got to go through all this worship. And you don't just run in because you're like, honestly, I'm a business person. I don't have time to have a 30-minute prayer time. I just need God. And I'm telling you, you could close the door to your office. You could sit in your chair and you could say, Jesus, I'm listening. I'm in your presence. Talk to me. And you're in the presence of God. You have that much time. You have that much time. Amen. To find hell. But we've created something to go through, these hoops again, to jump through, and you think it's too much work to get in there. Or one more thought is perhaps you've confused, and the enemy's come in, and he's somehow twisted what the presence of God is for. And to you, going into the presence of God is more work. Once you're in there, or more warring, or battling, or fighting, and you think to yourself, I'm too tired. I've been in this long journey of waiting for a miracle, or believing and praying and interceding and warring, and every time I go into the presence of God, I'm fighting, and I'm standing, and I'm warring. And for you, you've forgotten that the presence of God was meant to impart into you, to give you help, and pour grace into you to sustain you in the battle. But somehow in your mind, you've equated the presence of God to the battle. Again, vulnerable moment. There's been times in my life where I've been standing for certain miracles and certain healings. And there's times where going into the presence of God, I was always going to prayer to fight or to war. And I forgot what it meant to go in to receive grace, faith, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so every time I went to the presence of God, I had to fight for my promise. And you know what? There comes time, especially if it's a long journey, that you get tired of that because there's no rest. There's no rest when you're awake, and there's no rest in the presence of God. And it's not because of God's fault. It's because I've mistaken what the presence of God was for. And I've now turned it into something it was never meant to be. It was meant to be a place of refreshing. It was meant to be a place of help. And I turned it into the battle. And I did that as a person in good intentions. But as God can help reshape us, and help us remember, and to help us reevaluate and value what that presence of God is for. Now I can see myself getting into the presence of God that I might find the help and strength so that I can stand, and after having done all to stand, I can stand some more. Do you see what I'm saying? But people start avoiding church, or they start avoiding prayer, or they start avoiding worship because it's all war. It's all work. Rather than enjoying and receiving. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's because I have a proper perspective of what's going to happen when I go. I'm going to receive help. I'm going to receive joy. I'm going to receive faith. I'm going to receive insight and revelation. I'm going to receive anointing and ability. It's not about work. It's about his work. And I'm in his presence. And I'm finding mercy and grace to help in my time of need. Amen. 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 So these are when I dig, why? Why am I not accessing it? I'm telling you, it's shame. It's I don't value it. I don't think it's really going to help. It's too hard. It's too much work. It's not enjoyable when I go. And those are all things that we can deal with. And let's get to the reality of it. God's presence is what we need. And it's in that place of presence that he can speak to you. He can tell you the truth about some things. When you're in the middle of journey, when you're in the middle of life, you start believing lies, you start believing circumstances, you start believing even yourself. And let me tell you something. You're your own worst counselor when you're walking through life. Stop talking to yourself. You do a horrible job. You can say what God said to you, but you no talking. But if I can go into his presence in the middle of my stuff, then I can start hearing what he's saying about my situation and not all these assumptions I'm making about my situation or other people's opinions. See what I'm saying? It's so consistent, this idea of access into the presence. It's not meant to be for holidays, you know, or special holy days. It's all the time. That veil between the two realms is wide open because of Jesus, and you step in and out of those two realms. They fellowship between the two. I don't know if you even have to step out. You just step in and stay. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to close a little differently. Go ahead and stand. We're going to close a little differently. I'm going to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior. When I do that, I'm going to officially dismiss. I thank you for your patience. I know we went a little bit longer. But listen, I'll officially dismiss after I pray for people to receive Jesus. But then we're going to turn this into a place of presence. I asked Pastor Brock to come. He's going to lead in some special music. And you can stay as long as you'd like or until Brock gets hungry. But I'm not asking you to stay here and fight in war. I'm asking you to stay and step into by faith. Even if you messed up this week and you feel so unqualified, then come into the presence, give that sin to God, and let him talk to you. But you might be needing something in business, something in your marriage, something in whatever. Come into the holy place. Come into the throne of grace and mercy and find help. And I believe you're going to feel so helped, because that's what the promise is. You're not going to feel like you wasted extra time. You're going to find mercy, and you're going to find grace, and you're going to find help. And it's not a sermon. It's not about a sermon today. Today's not about a sermon. It's about a function of a people. It's about a mindset for the people. And that we would become people that practice this presence of God, that practice going in on a consistent basis, not once a week, but all the time. When I need help, I run to the presence. When I need wisdom, I run to the presence and I make the presence practical. And like I said, what does that do? It even gives permission for your family to do it that way too, where the presence of God is not so random or rare, but it's consistent, because that's what God always had in mind. He never meant it to be separated into the garden. Remember where I said that? So let me pray this over your life, and then we'll give people opportunity to receive Jesus. They'll dismiss you and the altars are gonna be open. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I pray you give us revelation over this so that we could have confidence, not being double-minded in anything, but being confident in what your word says about us. Now, Lord, I pray for a special moment. Is there anyone in this room or watching on the internet that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? And I pray if that's the case, that today they would come to know Jesus, you'd forgive them of their sins, and you'd open up heaven's throne room for them as well. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.